Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning for worship. It's great to see you today. Well, I'm hoping you can see me. I see our little red lights are on in the sanctuary. I'm quite sure the stream team is giving us the thumbs up. So I know you're out there, and it's just a pleasure to be able to share these moments with you today. Today we'll be sharing in communion together. So don't forget to have your elements ready, your bread and your juice, as we remember what the Lord Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross and the gift of love through his life, his death, and his resurrection. We commemorate and we proclaim this wonderful act of love that God has given to us. So don't forget that. That'll be following the message today. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for your worship with us today. Thanks for the work that you put into those. And thank you just for the wonderfully authentic way in which you engage with us. It's a real privilege to be able to share in worship with a number of great worship leaders. And we're really blessed here at KBC to be able to enter into the worship of the Lord Jesus, to make much of him with our worship teams. So thank you, each and every one who come out and record and prepare those for us each week. Well, I want to talk about family today. You know, as I look back and I reflect, it's really what I've learned, how I live, and how I've been molded and shaped is in large part due to the influence upon me of my family. Of course, we have the saying that it takes a village to raise a child, and that's true. And I can look back to many great men and women and colleagues who have helped me become the person that I am. And I'm very thankful for that, very grateful for the people that God has placed in my life. But truth be told, it has been a life-changing experience to be under the watchful care of my mother and my father. I'm not sure if they're actually watching today. They actually just experienced a big move in their life yesterday, moved into a new place, and they may very well have to catch this later on this week as Bell or Rogers, whoever it is who will hook up their internet, will be there to get them back online. But truth be told, their family, they can really tell whether or not we're being real. And I want to ask today, can you tell when something is real or phony? If you had to put your money where your mouth was, so to speak, would you be able to spot the fake? Well, many of us would emphatically agree that we had the ability to spot and point out the fake quickly and easily. Well, the truth is that we can be fooled just as easily as one can make such a statement as this. Knowing whether something is real and authentic can actually be, excuse me, quite a tricky endeavor. Well, at least that's what my brother thought one day as he decided to have a little sip of my mom's bottle of Tab. In the refrigerator. Do you remember Tab? Remember the drink Tab? My mom loved that particular drink. Well, of course, on grocery day, mom and dad would, you know, get groceries like every other family would. And of course, within the groceries, there'd always be things we didn't like and things that we really liked. And there were usually some soft drinks of some type, some pop, as we would say. And, well, truth be told, the pop wouldn't last very long. At least our version of the pop, the soda, wouldn't last very long. And, you know, within a couple of days, it would be gone from the fridge. And we three kids would be left to stare at Mom's bottle of Tab that she would get for herself. See, for my mom, her Tab would last the better part of the week, as she would have a glass and a drink of her Tab perhaps with lunch and with dinner each night, as was her routine. Well, apparently, my brother discovered that if you took a little bit of tab and then replaced it with the same amount of water, no one would be the wiser. You know, it's a real win-win for everybody. Well, at least for my brother and for my mom. My brother would get to continue to drink some pop, and my mom wouldn't really know the difference. Well, you see, the thing that he failed to realize was that after a while, the tab needs to be repaid, so to speak. And really, all you are left with is an amount of colored water at the bottom of the bottle. Well, the other thing that he failed to realize was that Mom had a keen sense of taste because she had spent a lot of time savoring the taste of her tab over the years. So she knew something was up the moment the glass hit her lips. The gig was up, and we all had to line up for interrogations. I don't actually remember who fessed up, if it was I or my sister who eventually spilled the beans about my brother, or if it was actually my brother who owned up to it himself. I'm going to have to call him now and ask him about that. But I do remember the stern warnings from Mom not to touch Mom's tab from that day forward. Well, for a brief time, Mom thought that she was getting the real thing. But in reality, she was getting a watered-down substitute. So here's a question we all must ask ourselves. Are people getting and receiving the real me? Or are they getting a cheap substitute? As believers and followers of Jesus, can others spot the real thing in us? Well, for the Apostle Paul, this was of the highest of importance. Paul did not want to leave anything to chance as he walked with these new believers in Thessalonica. Above all else, he desired that these believers and people, these Thessalonians, could do nothing other than conclude that they had met the real Paul. As we look into the text, we will see just how this was accomplished. Now, my hope is that we will see the key to how Paul was able to accomplish this. How he was able to leave them knowing that they had been with Christ Jesus and that they had known this very evidently. Well, first, what I want to draw our attention to is the fact that Paul was willing to go the distance with them. You know, these are people that he has only ever met selling them a tent. Right, and we know from other writings of Paul that he was chief and primarily a missionary, but he supported his mission work by the grace of God through selling and repairing tents. He was, so to speak, the very first bivocational pastor, the very first bivocational missionary. And the Apostle Paul, even though he didn't really know these folks very well, he had compassion for them. He loved them. And he was prepared to do life with them. And he was willing to go the distance with them. This wasn't a first-round TKO. Paul was willing to go all the way with this group of young believers. The theologian John Stott writes that this passage in particular reveals more about the heart of Paul than any other passage. Both encouraging and challenging, Paul's letter reveals his authenticity. He is wearing his heart on his sleeve, so to speak. Stott concludes that the real reason that these young believers have continued on despite the fierce opposition that they have faced is in part because they had a pastor in Paul who led by example. He went the distance with them. Truthfully, our pastors and leaders out there today, and I speak a little bit to pastors today, your people will never get any further than you are able or willing to take them yourself. This is because, for the most part, we truly lead by example. You know, I can't help but think of the words of Paul from Philippians 2 when he writes, "Therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." You see, Paul's desire here is to make sure that these young believers see the transformative change that has occurred in their lives because of their faith in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't want them to lose sight of this just because of the opposition they are facing. His work in Thessalonica was not with results, he writes. The word here means empty or ineffective. So Paul says, you know, the work that has gone on and the planting of this local church in Thessalonica, it hasn't been empty or ineffective. Look around. Look to each other. See what is going on. See the transformative work that has occurred in your lives. They have changed lives because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their lives. That plays out in the way that they live their life. It plays out in the way that they live as family together in the church. He reminds them that he was treated outrageously, that he suffered, and he faced great opposition when he shared the gospel with them. Even despite this, he and his companions, they were emboldened, and they exercised great courage in their witness for Jesus among the Thessalonians. Simply put, Paul went the distance for them because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, for many, the ability or desire to go the distance is challenged when the going gets tough. You know, when the counterpunches come flying in, when the opposition mounts its attack, we wonder if this is really worth it all in the end. Our faith, our resiliency, our ability to see why this is really worth it is challenged during these key moments in life. For parents, the crying child in the crib will challenge every notion they have that leaving the child there to cry itself to sleep is the right thing to do. And the ability to just let them cry themselves to sleep just for that very first time is a very monumental event in the life of a young family. Or the ability to navigate the tantrum that will inevitably occur when your toddler wants something bouncy or shiny at the local Walmart and you say, "Not today, dear." Well, I also have a word of encouragement to our pastors and our leaders out there today. You know, later today and tomorrow morning, when you're thinking about giving it all up and you're thinking about throwing in the towel and you're thinking about offering your resignation or stepping down or transitioning to something else, you know, this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, those are not good times to make that decision. The truth of the matter is that it has to get a little worse before it will get better. The baby will cry louder. The tantrum will devolve into wails and screams and body contortions on the floor of the Walmart in some cases. Those who oppose the moving of the Holy Spirit in a local church will give you opposition. But the truth is that in many cases, for the pastor and the leader, your congregation's greatest achievements for Christ will come just after you stand within those moments of opposition. Ironically, that's actually when most leaders will throw in the towel and they will give up. Not the Apostle Paul. And not the church in Thessalonica, we read. Not Paul. He was willing to demonstrate to the Thessalonians that he would go the distance with them. Notice that Paul immediately also refers to the fact that he's not doing this for anyone's praise or acceptance. He was doing this out of his commitment to God alone. Now, the theologian Ben Witherington stresses how Paul again and again reminds the believers just why this is so important to him. Paul does this through the uses of the words knowing, remembering. You know, he's doing this as opposed to offering new teaching. He's doing this as opposed to an exhortation or an admonition of an admonishment of some way of living that was contrary to the plan of Jesus for their life. No, actually, the future and the past, as Ben Witherington points out in Paul's writings, all point to the present situation that the church is going through. It all points to the present situation as a way of helping them in their current context. Paul is not trying to change belief here, but rather encourage them to keep doing what they currently are doing, to progress in the right direction. This is not a discourse in problem solving, but rather a call to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Pastor, leader, mother, father, are you setting an example through your life? Are you praying for your church? Are you praying for your children? Are you loving them, congregation and children, unconditionally? Keep on keeping on. It will be worth it in the end. You know, much of what we learn is by example. A couple of my earliest memories are being with my dad on our little farm in Dundas, New Brunswick. A couple of memories that came to mind as I prayed about this. Well, one day, as my mom went off to town to go to work, and as my brother and sister got on the bus and headed to school, it was just me and my father, the two of us on the farm. And so I tagged along with my dad as he went about his morning routine before he headed off to do what he needed to do. And in particular this day, we had gone down, like many other days that my father had done this. There was a little brook that ran along the border of our property, beautiful little brook. And before we had the ability to have running water within the barn itself, my father would go down to the brook and he would draw buckets of water for our horses. And in particular on this day, as my father reached down and he gathered up a bucket full of water, well, wouldn't you know it, he actually caught a brook trout right within the bucket. And it was a pretty good-sized brook trout at that. Well, I've never seen anybody in my life ever do that. And I knew at that moment that I was standing right next to the most amazing man that I had ever met. Well, yes, we had trout for breakfast that morning, and it was good. So the other memory that stood out to me as I prayed about this was of my dad hoisting me on my shoulders and wading through the Paulet River to collect rocks for some flower beds that my mom wanted to have at home. So we had made the drive and gone out to the other side of where we lived, probably some probably 40 or 50 miles. And in particular, there were some rocks on the other side of the river that looked beautiful. They're very colorful. If you're aware of the area, the Paulet River is very beautiful, multicolored rocks. And I was extremely nervous of the water because the water was very high and very fast. And the Paulet River was moving very fast, and it could be quite dangerous if one is not careful. By myself, I would have been in great danger. I was just a little kid. But with my dad carrying me, we made it to the other side, and I could feel every muscle in his body tensing and flexing, and I could feel the rushing water pouring around us. But with my dad carrying me, I didn't have a care in the world. I knew I was safe and secure in his arms. You can trust your Heavenly Father. You can trust Him with that thing you're going through right now. Maybe it's a relationship issue and you're just ready to throw in the towel. You can trust Him with that. Maybe it's a health issue that you're going through. Maybe you're not sure which way to turn in the raging river is about to pour around you. You can trust Him with that. Maybe you're like Paul and you're in lockdown and you are unable to physically be with the people that you really want to be with. Maybe you live in another city and it's some distance to even be with your loved ones, your family, and with COVID, that has completely complicated everything. You know, it's not unlike what the Apostle Paul is going through here. And Paul has to have a virtual visit with them by way of a letter that he writes and sends along. Paul is living out a lockdown life. And he is even able to go the distance, even in the midst of not being able to be with the people that he loves and cares about. My prayer is that, just like Paul reminded the Thessalonians, that they could keep on keeping on and that they were on the right track, and he's encouraging them to put their faith and their trust in Jesus, and that the Heavenly Father will be with them no matter what happens. Well, that's my prayer, that you will remember his promise to you today, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You are his. You belong to him. He will stop at nothing so that you can be with him. Communion, what we'll share a little bit later, speaks to us about everything that God has done. And the nourishment to keep on keeping on is found within this bread and this cup that speak to us and point to us of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is spiritually nourishing us, reminding us, pointing us, and pointing back to the work of Christ for us. My prayer today is that as we trust Jesus more and more, that we will become more and more of the real thing. Too many believers today are inoculated with such small doses of Christianity that it actually keeps them from getting the real thing. Let's be real. Let's look to him and find strength to go the distance and to keep on keeping on, living lives for Jesus, even as we begin to face more and more opposition. Amen.